Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's hear it for our super producer, Max the Governor Williams.
The Governator. Yeah. Sinister. A sinister nickname.
I got a friend. His name's Davis. He's like a real, like, pretty Southern guy. And he's really like, he's like a kind of a stickler. And so we've taken to calling him the Governor.
I love it.
I thought you were going to say, yeah, he's a real psychopath.
He is that too.
Okay, fair enough.
I like I love British slang, especially the kind of affectionate stuff. When people say governor, I think that's so cool. And also when people say, the first time I was in England, went through customs, and I'll be honest with you guys, this dude at customs absolutely charmed me because he called me squire.
Oh, I love squire. Right? That's a very cockney thing, almost like governor. There's an episode of our character on The Mighty Boosh, played by Noel Fielding, who's got like a freaking like mint for an eye, or it's like a lifesaver mint, and he's always calling people squire and eating jellied eels, you know, and like he's, I'll stab you in the eye with a screwdriver, squire, you know, stuff like that. That's all I got.
I was actually working on research for a future episode that I'll leave untitled for now, but I went across this guy named Samuel L. Governor. He was the nephew of James Monroe, who was the fifth president of American history. And sure. So he had the position of private secretary to the president. He also married James Monroe's daughter, who, if you remember, this is James Monroe's nephew. So yeah, married his first cousin.
Oh, well, then I think that spoiler alert for the topic that you're researching.
Right. Everybody act surprised. And act surprised that I'm Ben and you're Noel Brown. Yeah, we're talking about what's interesting about Monroe is there is a shade of nepotism there, something that people might call a bit corrupt. We taught, you know, I think we do a good job on all our shows of being even-handed in these divided political times, but most people can agree elections can go sideways pretty easily, right?
Oh, absolutely, especially like in the olden times. I mean, hell, who am I kidding? In the modern times, it's just as rife, you know, with problems. But in the olden days, before you, at the very least, had like the news, you know, and like some form of oversight to these elections that wasn't just like a person standing there with a clipboard. Lots of opportunities to get up to all kinds of shenaniganry. We recently did an episode on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know about Edgar Allan Poe. One of the theories surrounding his untimely death was that he was swept up in a practice called cooping. Tell us about cooping, Ben. It is wild.
Yeah, cooping. Okay, so cooping is the answer to every local corrupt political official or campaign member who says, I need all these votes and I don't have enough people. So what I should do is get people really drunk to the point of alcohol poisoning and kidnap them, force them into these rooms and then make them change costumes and vote repeatedly. And then
put on
this
wig.
Yeah. And it was literally a wig, folks. And then throw them into the gutter when they are physically incapable of walking to the poll the next time.
Yeah, that happened, y'all. And in fact, I'm almost positive we did do an episode about that on Ridiculous History, or at least one where that came up. But just as a little primer in terms of the depths of corruption that early politics in America and hell, most other countries sank. No, America's pretty unique in its awfulness, I would say, in this regard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like an apple oranges thing, maybe, but they're still both produce. Countries find ways to be corrupt. And today's story is about one of the most corrupt of all the corrupt elections in U.S. history up to the present, which is saying a lot.
That's saying a whole lot. And just to add, like when I say, you know, America's uniquely awful, I guess my caveat is that we purport to have this thing called democracy. At least other countries, they're open about, no, we're not a democracy. You do what I say. We're dictatorships. And if you don't, you know, do what I say, then you're donezo. In this country, we like to kind of dance around it and play a little pretend and that these things are fair and equitable. And as the election of 1904, in Colorado will show, it's probably worse than you think.
Mm-hmm. This is also our Colorado episode. We're doing it.
Hey,
we're doing it. We are.
Sufjan would be proud.
I know. I hope so. I hope he writes us back. So Colorado had a gubernatorial election in 1904, and the whole state went into an uproar on this. I think maybe we get right into the details without spoiling it too much, because this is sort of a, and then guess what? And then guess what kind of story? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. First of all, can I just say that the word gubernatorial just makes me giggle every time, because it leads so hard on the goober, yes. You know, it really feels like an insult.
The goobiner.
So why don't we start at the beginning, as R.E.M. would say, begin. This story requires us to take a look at that incumbent governor, Republican James H. Peabody, already a bit of a controversial figure. He was not a friend of the working class, let us say. The time when he was in office was just plagued with clashes with, working folks, literally like blue collar working folks, white miners, for example, specifically strikes, strike breaking on his part, just literally sending in the thugs with the billy clubs and the truncheons to just beat these folks into working again, because that's how you get through to people when you're treating them poorly in the first place. Just beat them up some more.
Mm-hmm. Until morale improves. It's weird because past governors before our pal Peabody had tried to side with the working class. They knew there was a huge voting block there, even if you don't want to call them like paragons of ethics. Peabody instead said, no, we're going to show them what's what. We are sending in the state militia. We're cracking down. He was the guy who started something called the Colorado Labor Wars. And he, one officer in the state militia famously said, they want habeas corpus, we'll give them post-mortems.
Habeas corpus meaning, obviously, what is it, present the body?
Have the body. Yeah.
You have the body. So this is like a very grim play on words, basically saying, oh, you want bodies? We'll stack them up for you of your own people.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And this, as you might imagine, struck some folks in Colorado as a negative in terms of governorship. So this gubernatorial, it is a hilarious word, this gubernatorial election is coming up. Peabody's got an opponent on the other side of the political aisle, a Democrat named Alva Adams. You don't really hear the name Alva too often now. I don't think I've ever met an Alva.
Classic old lady name. No offense to any old ladies out there. Alma is definitely a variation of it. Alva. Maybe I haven't seen that before either, but that's what it makes me think of, a sweet little old knitting grandma. But in this case, we're talking about an opponent in the governor's race, Democrat Alva Adams, as you said, Ben.
And we want to give a big shout out to Devin Flores over at historycolorado.org, who's giving us a lot of these early blow-by-blows and setups. Yeah, Alva, it's interesting. Alva served as the 5th and 10th governor of Colorado.
Potentially the 14th. The hopeful for the 14th, right?
That's the hope, yeah. And so these guys are, neither of them are considered squeaky clean. Adams has some dark marks on his reputation. I mean, it's very difficult to be a governor of any state and not have a few controversies. And so these guys just go nuts calling each other corrupt. It gets like into the realm of ugly politics so quickly.
Totally. And it's like mudslinging, and there's plenty of mud to go around. You know what I mean? And a lot of this stuff is probably, you know, it's the where there's smoke, there's fire kind of situation. You know, I mean, there's definitely truth in these accusations, you know, that are being levied against both parties here. It's up to you, the voting public, to decide which one is worse than the other. I would argue it's Peabody. But we'll let history be the judge of that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, spoiler alert, the race is very, very close. That's familiar to a lot of people in the U.S. and many other parts of the world. There are all sorts of reports of voter fraud, stuffed ballot boxes, all the hits, all the good ones. Once everything calms down, Adams has officially won the governorship by a very, very narrow margin. And the Democrats, additionally, win the state Senate. But this is just the beginning because, like many other contested elections, the Republican Party initiated legal action.
Before we go on, can I just say, you mentioning stuffed ballot boxes prompted me to Google old-timey historic ballot box. And like, these things are about the least impervious things you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. The one I'm looking at right here, it says National Ballot Box. And it just has a really like cheap-looking key hanging from the thing, you know? It's like you could have pried this thing open with your fingernails, not to mention like just the stuffing, which the practice really does just refer to voting more than once, right? Mm-hmm. That's essentially what's up there.
Or manufacturing votes and just putting them all making in up at names. Once. Yeah.
Kanye, right?
We made up our names for this for the show we're recording today. Let's see, we got Nels Born, which is a cool name, Sir M. James Williams Esquire, and of course, Max Powers, astronaut.
Oh, yeah, with or without a secret, depending on the day. You know, and it's funny because in the modern day, we have cases or at least accused or alleged cases of voter fraud involving dead people voting, you right. know, or like there's just it's interesting to see the parallels between like this old school kind of shenaniganry around the elections and then what we see today and realize that despite technology and, you know, forward movement of history and all, things aren't that much different in terms of like what can be, you know, perpetrated. I mean, of course, it's a little harder to rig an election. You're not dealing with paper. But even like that only ended kind of after the hanging Chad incidents. You know what I mean? I mean, this is like it's.
I'm going to say like, you know, when I voted recently, what you do is you print up.
You print it out.
And you put it in the printer. They watch you put it in the printer.
Yes.
That's like how scanner.
Scanner, yeah.
Yeah, they print it out. So you're right. There is some historical need for it to still be paper. It's just, you know, how long it takes to affect any real change in government. But I do find that wild. I guess it makes sense, Ben. Like, you know, if it were all online, it would be too susceptible to hackers and bad actors, and it could literally someone could rig an election with a cyber attack. I get that. Maybe that's what it comes down to. But.
Yeah, I think it's part of it too is public faith in the institution. So having something tangible feels more dependable to people. It's kind of like the argument. Now, this is a very hot take in the world of commercial aviation, but it's kind of like the argument that for most of a flight, the human pilot is there to make the passengers feel like someone competent is in charge.
and to talk really quietly and weirdly on the PA system.
And maybe gurk a little.
Why do they all talk like that? Are they trained to talk like
they're
that?
They're doing it on purpose school? At this point. It's
bizarre. It's bizarre.
I'm like, you don't talk like this on the ground, bro. Give it up.
we are heading into.
I'll have two orders of tater tots, please.
And it's always, I like it when things are going weird and sideways and the pilot still has that voice and they're, because they want to be calm, right? They want to be a trusted authority, just like a paper ballot. And they're like, you may notice the Grand Canyon rapidly approaching us on the left side of the plane. We're going to pause beverage service. Put your head between your knees and pray to the gods of your choice. Thank you for flying Delta.
Put the mask on your child first. As you marvel at this great American, feature.
No, you always put the mask on yourself first.
Oh, my bad.
The child.
See, this is how much I've tuned out.
You have to help yourself. You can't help anyone else before you help yourself, Noel. No, that's what therapy really taught me.
No, you're right.
That's what the politicians here must have been saying in the back, like in their back rooms. We've got to help. We know that we as the Republican candidate or we as the Democratic candidate, we want what's best for the people of Colorado.
Only we know that, though. Only we could possibly know what that thing is. And hey, looks like it's also the thing that benefits us the most. Coincidence? I don't know.
The ends justify the means. And if you have to get a little dirty to create the political sausage, then you can always wash your hands of it later.
Political sausage.
Here's another word that I enjoyed for this. This was for an unrelated episode, but I think it's a word that's really cool in English. Have you heard the phrase cacistocracy?
No, sir, I have not. Please enlighten me.
It's a the etymology.
Is it poop related?
It's kind of.
I think caca. Okay. Yeah.
A government by the least suitable or competent citizens.
Oh,
in charge.
Okay. Yeah. So person. Yeah. Got it. Makes it. That's amazing. That's typically what we get served most of the time in government. Look, we're not here to rag on democracy. It's like the worst form of government next to all the other ones.
Yeah.
Right. Or no, the best form. I forget how the expression
goes. You nailed
it.
You nailed it. The worst form of government.
Yeah.
Except for all the other ones.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I got to say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And, you know, I got to say, I love a good cliffhanger. It's good for the soul. So I believe we left off with an impending legal battle after a very narrow margin of victory. People love doing that, too. It's like, oh, you beat me, but you didn't really beat me. I hear all this talk of ballot box stuffing and crouping and all this shenanigans. I'm going to use that word the whole episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What gives?
They said we can't let our political rivals shenan, because then they will simply shenan again.
Oh, I love it, Ben. Oh, I love it. You're the best.
Too kind. But the
so how are we going to stop them?
Well, first, Noel, they stop the government. They just, the government stops because people
shut it down.
Yeah, people are saying, well, we don't know who really won. And they go to court because Peabody's campaign contest the results. And they said, we need a real investigation before this villainous Alva Adams gets sworn into office. And they said, all right, we're going to strike a deal. They went in the smoky back room and they said, look, Peabody, we don't like each other, but we respect each other. How about you get to appoint members of the state Supreme Court if you say we won? And he goes, no, I refuse. And even after Adams takes his oath and officially becomes the governor of Colorado, Peabody's sticking to his guns. They have this investigation. It turns into pandemonium almost instantly.
Totally. It was riots in the street. People were outraged. This probe was conducted by the state legislature. And there is plenty of corruption to uncover. And boy, uncover it they did. To the point of basically everybody sucks. And people were unceremoniously ejected from their seats in government, meaning that the political balance of political power was awry. It was like a serious shuffling was going on. So that created its own flavor of chaos, right?
100%. Yeah, it's a real life version of that three Spider-Men pointing at each other meme. Not everybody, but a lot of people who were supposed to be in investigating corruption turned out to be corrupt themselves. In Denver, the Democratic Party had stuffed ballot boxes, and they also controlled the police. And through the police, they promised criminals that they would get out of jail, they would be acquitted if they committed voter fraud using disguises to vote multiple times, or just, you know, acted like a circuit judge and went from ballot box to ballot box.
Max is burning to tell us a missive.
I got a question. You said they control the police. Are they like Mr. Nimbus? They control the police?
He controls the police. Yes. Yeah,
they're a cold dick killer. Sorry, we were talking a lot of Rick and Morty before we started recording this, so that's where we're at right now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You remember this one. It's the time travel one where it's basically Namor, the Submariner. And he's Rick's rival.
It's the first episode of season 5.
Oh, of course. S5, E1. Yes. I know it well. But no, yeah, they controlled the police, which, again, not surprising. Sadly. You know, it still feels very much a thing today in terms of, like, where budgets go, you know, it usually goes to like the police. Not to get political, we're in the midst of this whole like cop city thing here in Atlanta, which is very fishy. An insane amount of money being allocated to this, you know, police training facility, which happens to be in the middle of like a gorgeous park, basically, you know, a wooded area. They took hours and hours of public comment, which was almost like 100% negative, and then voted the thing through. So I don't know. Are they really, who are they looking out for? You know, the people who have a problem with this in their community, or the police? I would argue things have not changed that much.
I would agree with that assessment, especially because a hospital closed down right before, and it would have been cheaper to keep the hospital going. Mm-hmm. But priorities, we see, you know, how do you define a benefit? It really depends on your position in the social hierarchy. But yeah, we have, I think a lot of people here on the ground in Atlanta do consider those proceedings immensely corrupt. And, you know, this was the same in Colorado. One person in Colorado in this election voted 169 times.
Jesus. Sexy number, though.
It is a great number. Yeah. That's why they stopped there, I bet.
Exactly.
They put the last one in and they went, nice.
Done. Boom. I'm all used up.
They noticed that 71 that they messed up. They're like, oh, crap, I should have stopped two earlier. And so they had to go all the way up to the next one.
As far as another hilarious stat is concerned, I think like over 700 ballots were cast for Democrats in a area that only had 100 legally registered voters.
Yeah, that's a Russian voting right there, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
So of course it sounds like we're cracking on the Democratic Party of this time, and we are. But don't worry,
way different than the one we know. I mean, again, it's fingers on a hand, basically, mm-hmm. like you say, Ben. I mean, which side wins? Not as relevant as one might think, especially in these days. But Democrats and Republicans represented much different things ideologically back then than they do today.
That's a good note. Yeah, that's a really important part of the argument that a lot of people miss. And of course, just like any good insult comics, we're going to make sure the Republicans get theirs as well. Republicans were coercing voters everywhere. The big railroad and mining interest told their workers, who had already, you know, survived, hopefully, a lot of those crackdowns you mentioned at the top, they said, look, you have to vote Republican or you're fired. For anyone playing along at home, that is insanely illegal.
Oh, yeah. It's just the most abject form of coercion. You know, let me mess with your money, you know, your livelihood that you used to protect and provide for your family. This is a mining state, Colorado, lousy with the things, you know, and the mining and railroad interests were really wanting Peabody to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is interesting because didn't he already have a bad reputation for messing with miners at this point?
Yeah, so the owners of the mines loved it. They said, keep the peasants. The
owners. See, when we're talking about the miners, I'm thinking the miners. But we're not talking about the workers. We're talking about the fat cats sitting up there counting the dough.
Yeah, counting the coal and the bauxite and what have you. We have one example where an owner of a Victory Fuel Company said, if the Democrats should win, we may have to close the mine down. Let's make him sound more evil. And if the Republicans should win and find out that one of the working men voted for the Democratic ticket, they would fire him. Yes, he's the laugh. Yes, perfect.
Excuse me. That was a very good Sith voice. Yeah, that's the level of evil we're talking about here. This stuff is gross, man. Oh, my God. These are bad people.
And the folks working at the mines, you know, they are skilled labor, and they probably don't have another job they can just go to. This is way before the era of working remotely.
This is a specific skill set. I mean, like, you know what I mean? You've worked in these mines. These are generational jobs, too, like families. They pass on these skills to their offspring. And it's like you'll have, like, third, fourth generation mining families. I mean, this is a old industry, even at this point.
Yeah, 100%. And of course, as anybody who has mining in your family's past knows, it comes with a lot of very dangerous health conditions. It's not a fun job at all. And these guys, these mine workers, are furious that they're being pushed around. And so when the investigation into corruption starts, the miners are front and center. And they say, look, here's what's going down. They're trying to force us to vote. They're physically abusing us. They're telling us to commit voter fraud, to stuff ballots. And, you should take a closer look. So these investigators, many of whom will later be found corrupt themselves, turn their eye toward a lot of mining towns in southern Colorado. And then, Noel, as you know, Max, oh, yeah, a guy named Juan Montez is the election clerk of a place called Huerfano County. And one day he jumps out of a moving train.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like you do. He probably forgot that he left the toaster on or something, you know? Yeah, maybe not the toaster. Those things are on a timer. The oven. He had to go. Now, that's weird, right? That's weird.
It's weird to, yeah, usually you wait for the train to stop. I'm not an engineer, but that's always been my impression. No,
I'm just implying there may have been foul play afoot. That's all. It's entirely likely that he did not do this on purpose.
It feels like that Indiana Jones heist in the beginning of, what was it, Last Crusade, where it starts with young Indiana Jones. He's on the run because he has been ordered by the court to bring back a ballot box that was used in the election, and a sheriff's deputy rode along as an escort. They were going from Denver to Walsenburg, and the deputy was there because people didn't trust this election clerk.
Oh, man. See, here I was the whole time thinking this guy had been, like, targeted because he was, like, the good boy who was getting to the heart of all the shenaniganry. But, in fact, he himself was a party to said shenaniganry, and he basically jumped out of the moving train because he was a big old coward and knew that the jig was up.
Yeah, maybe his family was threatened. We really don't know, but it is hilarious to think he had already been asked to produce this ballot box, and he didn't. And the legislature put law enforcement on him to make sure he actually brought it back this time. But he knew he had a hot box. He knew it was corrupt. So apparently, not too long, hot box. Yeah, not too long after the train leaves the station, our boy Montez jumps off the train and tries to run away. He is captured. He is charged with election fraud. He gets a lot of headlines because he went to the mat, right, for whomever his patrons were.
Yeah, and one would think, okay, they've got their fall guy, literally. Right. He knows how to take a fall, literally and figuratively. But he was not the last person charged. I mean, of course, we always know that the people who truly are at the heart of perpetrating these kinds of conspiracies usually get away scot-free. But it doesn't mean you don't make a show of, like, justice, you know, justice must be done, and get you a handful of names and faces to plaster up and see, we did it. We found the bad guys. Now move on, and things basically stay the same. But sorry if I'm being a little nihilistic about
this stuff.
I don't
think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I practice optimistic nihilism, right? Nothing matters and things are going to be okay. But I 100% agree with you, because people like a face, right? That's why celebrity news is so much more popular than policy news. So if you have, to your point, Noel, if you have that face people can look at, then they can feel like that person's punishment means the problem is solved. As you pointed out, it couldn't be further from the truth. The box from Huerfano County, the ballot
box.
The hot box that they eventually get. It turns out this thing is completely empty, like that vault Geraldo Rivera made such a big deal about getting into.
Had like a Snickers wrapper in there, just blowing in the wind.
And the box
had tumbleweed.
Yeah, exactly. And the box hadn't even been used during the election. As a result, all the ballots cast in that precinct didn't count.
It's funny. I was sort of ragging on the, you know, very unintimidating construction of these boxes, but they are all, like, you know, cataloged. They've each got like a number associated with them. This is government property. You know, these things are meant to be distributed and kept track of in a way, you know, with it supposed to have some level of precision. So they were going to get to the bottom of, like, where that, what happened with said box. You know what I mean?
They were trying, one hopes, you know, and a lot of other ballots get thrown out during this corruption investigation, and a lot of them shouldn't have been thrown out. It gets really weird. Also, I want to point out, I really appreciate that you use the phrase hanging Chad, because it's a terrible thing in an election, but like gubernatorial, it's a hilarious image to me.
And just to make sure I'm remembering this right, the hanging Chad was literally like back in the day where you kind of, ballots were almost like a Scantron card, but you'd use a little pin to poke out these perforated little guys. And they were arguing that in some precinct or whatever, the construction of the cards was such that the piece of paper wouldn't pop all the way out. And if it was hanging, then it shouldn't be counted as a full vote. But that's sort of like kind of bullshit. Right, the intent of the voter is clear. If they punched the thing, just didn't break off. But I don't know,
100%.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You nailed it. And I remember when that became a huge controversy several years back. The only thing that could make me laugh was picturing some guy named Chad, who just hung out at polling places in Florida and distracted people. Like, oh, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah,
you want a smoothie? You want to hit this, bro?
Hey, check out this Matt Ollie.
I got an alligator in my truck. So yeah, hanging Chad was not that cool. It is the thing you described, Noel. And a lot of these ballots get thrown out. It's something that happens, you know, later, closer to modern day as well. And the investigation started to become even more corrupt itself. More and more residents of Colorado from all political stripes were saying to each other, they were saying, look, man, I might be a Democrat, you might be a Republican, but we can agree the government of Colorado sucks.
Sucks real bad. Yeah. I mean, again, not like there were that many like shining paragons of governmental excellence at this point in our country's fair history. But yeah. No, Colorado is pretty awful. Like, I mean, this was a level of corruption pretty close to like the whole Tammany Hall, you know, vibes like in Chicago, you know, associated with like bootlegging and gangsters and all of that stuff. I mean, maybe not that level of connection with like organized crime, but certainly the type of cronyism and just, you know, two-faced dealings, double dealings, just more than one could possibly imagine. But we can help you imagine it. We're going to tell you more in a minute.
Yeah, it gets worse. So we said the state government became pretty ineffective. Ground to a halt, I think, is the phrase we used. That's because this investigation amounted to 200,000 pages of evidence, over 2,000 witnesses. And the guy, again, the Democratic now governor, Adams, is in office, but he can't do anything because anytime he does something, he gets attacked for allegedly fixing the election.
And usurper!
Exact. Yes, that's the word they use. And the legislature, instead of, you know, handling affairs of the state, they spend weeks and weeks and weeks just saying, no, you. You, though.
Yeah, more of that Spider-Man meme you were talking about earlier. And usurper, I'm sorry, I had to say it in that goofy voice because it's just Game of Thrones as hell. That is the term that gets thrown around when someone, like, basically takes the throne or, like, you know, scoops someone else's birthright, you know, usually involving a murder most foul.
We should start. I agree. We should bring usurper back and just start using it to incredibly escalate normal situations. Like, yeah, if
pair it with a hard point.
Yeah.
Like you were doing, you know, usurper.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're hanging out at our local or whatever our local Cheers is. And then someone takes your seat. Then let's all call the person a usurper. And then let's hold a corrupt vote about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that scene where, what is her name? Cersei Lannister. She's getting paraded through the square and the nun is shame.
Shame.
Do you know who the actor who playing that nun is?
I did look this up. It was somebody interesting.
Is it Hannah Waddingham, who is like the co-lead of Ted Lasso?
That's right. Yes. I remember.
I saw an interview she did with one of the late night hosts and she's like, for like everyone like on Game of Thrones, they're having this massive makeup and stuff like that. They told me to show up with no makeup on and they go, perfect, and put me on the stage.
What rage. Because
she's such a kind of fabulous character, you know, in Ted Lasso, like very stylish and cosmopolitan. And in this one, she's like just the quintessential unadorned nun that is just shaming somebody, you know, who's being paraded through the square.
And shout out Ted Lasso.
I haven't seen the new season. I heard it's not good. Did you?
Oh,
guys?
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Okay, good.
I think it's good. People are being critical of it, saying like, oh, it's a little too emotional, a little too corny. I'm like, Ted Lasso's always been kind of emotional.
No, I love
that.
That's what I like about it.
That's what I like about it. Sign me up. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
It's a show that's positive.
That's like saying a Hallmark birthday card is too birthday centric.
It's like saying a bucket full of puppies and kittens is too cute.
Right.
It also has just too damn many puppies and kittens in it, you know?
And so this huge to-do, this brouhaha, doesn't end with what you would call justice. Based on the dictionary definition of justice, it ends with some dirty backroom deals. Whoop, stop the presses, stop the votes, put the ballot box down.
Stop the count?
Oh, yeah, stop the count, man.
Stop the presses. Who's that? It's Vicky Vale. That's who that is.
That's also us saying this is part one, right? Because we, Noel, we're having so much fun with this that we decided, check out how prepared we are now, folks. We decided before we got in the booth that we would make this a two-parter.
You have a booth? That's fancy.
You know, I got to show you guys, like, the new place where I live, I had to line it with a bunch of shelves. So it's actually kind of it's a booth. In San Francisco, they call it a room. But here in Atlanta, it's a booth.
Okay. Yeah. I just have a basement. I wish I had a booth. Maybe one day.
Your basement's awesome.
Yeah, I love my basement, but I got no booth. But maybe one day I'll build out a booth of my own. And then we'll finally be on equal playing field. But speaking of equal playing field, that wasn't a thing that existed in politics of yesteryear. There was no such thing. The decks and the ballot boxes and all of the things were stacked, stuffed, loaded. We're going to get right back into talking about a particularly corrupt episode in American politics that took place in a place you might not have thought would be guilty of such things. Colorado. They're cool in Colorado, right? They smoke all the weed. Why are they beefing in the streets and beating up striking minors?
Yeah, and we can't wait for you to tune in with us this Thursday when we have part two coming out. Thanks to super producer Max, the Governor Williams. Thanks to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. the Quister. And who else, Noel? Who else? Who else?
Oh, Alex Williams, who composed this banging ditty. Max Williams, who did the incredible research for this two-parter, intentional two-parter. And you, Ben, for being such an above-the-board guy, you know, when it comes to your politics and just not fixing elections or generally being a shady character.
Hey, back at you. You know, we work really hard on Ridiculous History not to fix elections anymore.
We'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.